There's a book I read years ago. I can't remember the title, but the man was writing, the brother was writing on this very subject. And in his introduction, you know, notes from the author, he gave a little summary of what led him to write this book. And he says he was praying one day, and he said to the Lord, you know, for 7 years I've been saved now, and I've been working hard and failed here and I failed there. And he was identifying his failure. For 7 years I've been praying for help. For 7 years I have applied the rules and regulations. And he went on this way, 4 or 5 sets of 7. And finally he says, Lord, I give up. So the Lord's response to him was, for 7 years I've been waiting for you to hear you say that. This is what we have.
Well, it's a very serious lesson that we have to learn. And one is also reminded, I just want to continue on that line, because sometimes we think we are in a day of grace, that what is expected from us is less than the Jewish people to keep the law. Well, let me, I don't want to shock you, dear brethren, I hope you're acquainted with that. The expectation of a Christian is way greater and higher standard than the Jewish people ever was expected from them. Think of that. The one who came full of grace and truth, he said, you were touching on that, he said, the law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's take this one. But I say unto you, now he is the one who is greater than the law, I say unto you, what does he do? He gives something less than what the law, or something that is greater what the law said? It's something that is greater, really. So all what I want to say to the dear believers, and especially the young people, let's not minimize the day of grace and say, well, you know what? We can do whatever we want. And that's what Paul is trying to warn the saints. Should we sin that grace may abound? And brethren, we don't want to live in that spirit that we want to do things wrong so that I can see a display of the grace of God. That is the wrong approach. But I want to say this. Another person that I learned from, as far as this lesson is concerned, is the Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter had the right desire. Really. I mean, if you think about it, when he said to the Lord, you know what, if everyone forsook you, I will not. He was ready to take the sword and really. But the Lord has to bring tears in his eyes to come to the end of himself. So that when you see him in the book of Acts, you see him as a different man than when he was with the Lord, acting upon rules and regulations and willing with the right desires, we all lose sight. I have to disappear. I, the old I, has to disappear so that I can enjoy the deliverance that I have through the Spirit where we'll see it in the next chapter.
Well, the Lord Jesus himself mentions very similar to what you said again back in John chapter 15. We didn't read it, but if I may... Right? In chapter 15, verse 12, this is my commandment. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is giving a principle. That ye love one another, as I have loved you. And then that often quoted expression, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When you think of the law or the principle of love, you don't need to have, you're going to some kitchens and you may see different little quips and different expressions on the kitchen. Clean up the kitchen. Pick up after yourself. Pick up your clothes or things of that nature. If there is a principle of love that is working within, you don't need rules and regulations on the walls of the kitchen or on the, you know, you have in the kitchen cabinet or the refrigerator, magnets. Do this, do that. No. The law of love, the royal law of love, motivating inside someone's heart, that transcends every other law. Because when that's operative and that's working in you, you will pick up after yourself. You will clean the dishes. Yes.
Is this on tape?
Uh,
I'm not going to say anything else.
But just to add, in the book of Galatians, it says the law was our schoolmaster. And what the law does is that it highlights how evil sin is, how wicked sin is, that it cannot be repaired. God has to condemn it. And so I might have good intentions. And, you know, I like when we deal with Romans, I can always go back to my teenage years. There's always the good intentions for young believers to go on in the things of Christ. And then you start realizing there are struggles. And as much as you try, you realize you keep falling flat on your face. Well, that is what the law is helping you to see, that in you there is something that will respond to any bit of evil present. The Lord helps you to see that.
I think I heard it once said, it goes like this, this do and live, the law demands, but does not give you feet or hands.
There's no support.
No support.
No support.
Just do and live, the law demands, but it does not give you feet or hands.
There are three walks. I know there are some others, but I'm going to underscore three walks. Walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1. Walk in the light. In Ephesians, walk in love. Walk in love. If we're walking in light, then we have information. We have association. Because He is in the light. And so that is our position. Walk in love. Walk in light. Walk in love. If you love someone, you will not do anything to hurt them. And you will use that as a principle. You see, the law does not give us length and strength and help to do. But if we are walking in love, that is going to be a benefit to us to do what we ought to do. But there's another law, another walk. Galatians chapter 5, I think it's verse 16. And this often helped me when I was a new Christian. When I was struggling, it's a principle. This, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's interesting. It doesn't say that you will not have the lust of the flesh, because we have that in Romans 7. The lust of the flesh is not eradicated, because the flesh is not eradicated. But it says that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what is it? Walk in the Spirit. And that's a realm. That's a sphere, if you please. And if you walk in that realm, if you walk in that sphere, if you walk in that domain, while you're in that condition, you will not have a desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you'll be centered in the objects. We sometimes say, have I an object, Lord, below? We have Christ as our object, right and fair. And we're walking with Him, you will not fulfill the lust of the Lord.